Call the admin committee meeting to order. It's Wednesday, October 12th, 2018. And at 6 o'clock, I have myself, Alderman Molchewski, we have Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Plocher, and welcome Alderman Peterson to our wonderful committee meeting. So we have any citizens' comments? Okay. Minutes for correction or approval? Comments? Questions? We have no criticisms or comments. All okay?
Good.
All right, we'll take those as new business. One, admin 2018-80, the monthly budget report for September 2018.
Just a couple of quick comments, just kind of highlight on some of our major revenue streams. Sales tax so far this year seems to be doing quite nicely. It's tracking about 4.6% over last year's amounts, doing a 6 month year over year analysis. Same thing for non-home rental sales tax, tracking at about 2% year over year. Income tax, because of the special census, it's continuing to be strong. It's tracking about 13% year over year the last 6 months, which is a good sign. And local use continues to be very robust, showing about 20% year over year increase over the last 6 months. So really everything seems to be kind of going as planned, at least this far into the fiscal year. So if there's any questions or comments?
Got the word robust in. That was good.
Joel would be proud.
Yes. Yeah. And I forgot, for the record, we also have.
Yeah.
We do have Alderman Koch, too, sitting in with us. Any comments or questions on the budget report?
Just on our sales tax. So that we've seen that kind of equalize a little bit from where we were, because we had some numbers that were in past months lower than projected, and now we're seeing that's been corrected, maybe a late
quarter or something. Just looking over the last 6 months year over year, it's tracking at 4%, like I said, 4.63% better. You look at last nine months year over year, it's about 3%.
Yeah.
So it seems to be tracking pretty close.
Just
to
we had a dip, and then it seemed to rectify that.
We did. In April, it was like 100. It was 11% higher, and then in June and July, it was right at about what it was last year, and then it was 8% higher in August, and then in September, it was back to about even. But, we'll see.
Yeah.
So obviously,
we're still holding our projection.
We are, right, for budgetary purposes, sure.
And we discussed at the last meeting how some businesses may not complete their receipts by the end of the month, so there can be a lag and a double up on some months too. So we really do think we're watching it to see if it's the same trend every year, to see if that's
and somebody strategically or for some reason holds or doesn't report for a month.
And really what makes or breaks this is going to be that March reporting period, because that's when you get the holiday sales, and if that comes in strong, then we're going to have a real good year. But that remains to be seen, and we'll keep it posted.
Go on to admin 2018-81, the monthly treasurer's report for September 2018.
Projected beginning fund balance of $11,544,955. Year-to-date revenues of $16,248,163. Year-to-date expenses of $11,474,319 for a projected ending fund balance of $16,318,798.
Comments, questions? Admin.
Is that okay to go on consent?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just, that's a blanket, put it on consent. Three, admin 2018-82, cash statement for August 2018.
This is informational, as always. You have our cash balances on the first page and investments on the second page. Is there any questions or comments?
We're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Four, admin 2018-83, bills for payment. Comments or questions on the bill list?
The one thing that stands out, and I just wanted, it's probably more for Public Works. When are we going to have a closeout on the intersection improvements for Wrigley?
From what I've talked to Brad, it's been a couple weeks soon, but let me get you a better estimate than that.
I would appreciate that.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. 5, admin 2018-84, the monthly website report for September 2018.
So you can see we had a little bit of a dip with our festival season not being as strong in September as August, even though we did promote a lot for the Yorktoberfest, but we geared that up at the beginning of October. So I hope to see Gage up again once we see the visits and the amount of people that came to both our website and our social media. You also see in future months that we are pushing Twitter a lot more. So we're trying to program a lot of tweets out, just like we do for our Facebook posts, to see if we get a lot more shares and a lot different audience that way. So we'll be tracking that as well. Our top visited pages you see, as well as our highest view posts. The highest view post from Parks and Rec was a boosted post, so we are watching that more closely too, and hopefully we'll be able to provide more data when we do boosts, and we usually do that for city events and other things like that, but we like to see where we're pulling from outside of the city. Does anybody have any questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
Good. Okay. Let's go on to admin 2018-85, the meeting schedule for 2019. Is everybody fine with that meeting schedule? Okay, still doing Wednesdays, third Wednesday of the month, 6 o'clock. Sure. I know you want to kick it right there. I get it now.
You get my schedule now.
I get, I get it now. But,
Do we have an issue with the actual calendar? I know a couple of the PDFs in the past couple months have had data issues. Half of the numbers are missing on the actual calendar on the side, not the memo, but the second page.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have been having issues, yes.
I know we had a couple packets two weeks ago that had that, so
yes.
I think we need to look into this.
Yes.
Seems to be a recurring issue.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it was just the calendar. I didn't read that one. I think it's just on the digital side of it.
You need to see what the full calendar looks like.
Well, I could kind of, I could fill in the blanks.
We thought we had this resolved. We really did.
Okay.
Obviously.
I didn't bring it up before, but yeah, this is something. Fortunately, it wasn't anywhere else in the packet.
So we're okay leaving it the way it is. Sorry, Chris, we're going to leave it at 6.
That's
I can make the memes.
I know. It's a hassle. I see this now. Now that I have to work in the real world. So let's go on to 7. Admin 2018-86, the annual treasurer's report.
Well, it's that time of year again with the annual treasurer's report. Just real brief, you have the summary statement of operations. We have the general fund and other funds, and it highlights the beginning. Fund balance or net position, revenues and expenditures around fiscal year 18. Other financing sources and uses, which are transfers in and transfers out. And then the ending net position or fund balance for the various funds. You will notice the general fund increase by about $282,000, which is certainly a good sign, but I don't want to spoil the magic. More to come with that in next week's audit presentation at council. So, it's pretty straightforward. It's a listing of all the funds and all the proceeds and revenues received during fiscal year 2018. On page 2 on the bottom, it explains payroll based broken down in $25,000 increments. And on the bottom of page 3, it lists all the vendors that we paid in amounts over $2,500 over the course of fiscal year 18. Pursuant to statute, this report will appear in the local paper, probably the Kendall County Record, the last week of October. And just one minor detail, you may have noticed that below the summary statement of operations schedule, there's a TBA and it's highlighted. That'll be an actual link to the city's CAFR. I should have got an email from me yesterday with that link, but when the report went out, I didn't have the CAFR yet, so there was no link. But obviously, that'll be provided on the report you see at council next week and from the newspaper as well. So.
We can do consent agenda for this. We're okay with that? Okay. Well, then we go into the fund admin 2018-87 tax levy estimate.
You want
to go ahead?
Okay.
He's on roll.
So the first page of the memo just gives a little bit of a background of some of the previous decisions by City Council regarding the tax levy from fiscal year 15 through fiscal year 18. The second page of the memo kind of rehashes what we decided on last year. As you may recall, there's two components of the levy, the CPI, or the inflationary component, and also the new construction component. Last year, City Council made the decision to levy for new construction only, about $64,000, and to leave the inflationary amount, about $65,000, on the table. Looking ahead for this levy year, new construction is estimated to generate an increment of about a little over $75,000. And the CPI portion, which remains at 2.1%, is estimated to generate a little over $66,000. You know, staff's recommendation, based on the numbers thus far, to levy for the new construction increment only. Just over the exhibits real quick. If you look at Exhibit A, this is what we recommend for the public hearing. The public hearing is scheduled for the first meeting in November, and this sets the ceiling as to what we could potentially levy for. And these amounts include CPI along with new construction and also just a little bit more so that we're levying every single dollar we can under the tax cap should we decide to do that. Now, we're not bound by this at all. This just sets a ceiling. We can certainly levy less. We can levy with CPI and new construction or just new construction or one or the other depending on what council decides to do, and it's similar to what we did last year as well. So that's our recommendation for the public hearing. If you look at Exhibit B is CPI and the new construction increments combined, so it's at $75,000 along with that $66,000 that I mentioned. And then Exhibit C is staff recommendation, and that's new construction only, where we're levying the $75,000 for the new construction increment. Going back to the memo, on the bottom of page 2, I give a little summary about the actuarial evaluation for the police pension fund. We caught a break last year. In fiscal year 17, it was $966,000. In fiscal year 18, we levied $963,000. So it went down a slight amount, not a lot, but to go down a little bit. This year, though, it did increase fairly significantly, about 15%. It's at $1.1 million. A couple reasons for that. The amortization period as we get closer to 2040 is shrinking. The normal cost continues to mount each year, and the pension fund did fall a little bit short of its actuarial return assumption this year. That was 5.43% versus 7% that was assumed. The good news is that actually the percentage of funding actually increased. It was 42.3% at the beginning of the year, and at the end of the year it's 47% funded. So we're definitely heading in the right direction. Another bit of good news is that I believe as of the end of September, the pension fund has total assets in excess of $10 million. So before, if you're under $10 million, you can only invest in equities of the 45% of the portfolio, which, you know, we've been doing thus far. But with the meeting in November, we're going to sit down and kind of revamp the investment policy, because now that it's over $10 million, they can invest actually in 65% equities, 55% equity and or stocks, and then 10% mutual funds. So while hopefully that'll give the fund greater capability of meeting its assumed investment return or exceeding it, of course there's more risk too. So that's going to be something for the fund to consider. But at least it can be more heavily weighted equity, which will give you a greater return than fixed income securities, over the course of the pension's lifetime.
Okay. Return. We're anticipating 7%. We got 5% this year. What kind of increases or yields do you think that could have for us?
Well, I think we could easily exceed 7 if there's a good year in the equity market and there are 55% in equities.
And so that could catch us up on some potential losses like this year.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely. But there's more risk, too. So right. When the market does negative 14% and there,
we have no guarantee.
Exactly. Exactly. But
risk is worth it when we're already losing 2% here.
Yeah, and it's no secret that interest rates are low and they've been low for a while, and with 55% of fixed income, that's really dragging down the return on the portfolio. So
our 10-year performance in the fund has been better than our assumed rate of return or no?
Yeah, last year we actually beat it, I think, by 5 basis points, but we still beat it. And we've had years in the beginning where it returned like 9%, but then we've had years where it's, done a little negative. But it seems to be hovering around. I think 7% is a pretty fair assumption, considering, too, we're looking at like a 40-year time span. Mm-hmm. But, obviously, if that changes, we'll revisit the policy. But, they just didn't have, that great of a year in comparison to a year prior, so...
So the action item for the committee is to recommend the published dollar amount in the public notice. So as Rob said, in the third page of his memo, he's got the black and gray chart there. So last year, the city levied $3.165 million. We're allowed to increase that by inflation and then whatever new construction there is in the city. And I'll get into the details with you another time, just give you the full backstory on PTEL and tax caps and all that. But the column with 2018 maximum levy, $3.407 million, is what we recommend to publish. Again, that's more than we think that we can get for the purposes of having the discussion and being able to ratchet that down later. The staff recommendation for now is only new construction, so not CPI, that $3.241 million in that last column. So that 3.241 could go as high as, I think, just over $3.3 million. That's the maximum we can levy under the tax cap, but we don't have to make that decision until end of November or December. So for purposes of today, you'd be voting just to set the levy amount at a higher rate than we think that we can get, that way we can have the conversation about anything lower than it.
Alex, questions?
Well, I think you'll know I'm all in favor of just capturing the new construction only. Obviously, setting it as high as we can for that purpose and then coming in with just new construction, whatever that maximum is, I'm good with that. Is the library doing the same, or are they capturing both for their...
They're capturing both.
Can we have... Do we have any ability to discuss that with them, to ask them to follow suit with us? I mean, I know...
You're allowed to calculate their tax levy separate, which is what we've done in the past couple of years.
Which is what I want to do. I think it's more equitable to separate it, but...
They have the authority to levy a CPI and new construction on top of whatever the tax cap is. So the only way you
can have their breakdown here.
Yeah.
I mean, you got debt service.
So the only way that you could get them to do otherwise would be to convince them otherwise.
Right. But they've already said that's what they want. They want both.
Yeah, their published dollar amount was $725,000, and they actually think that they're going to get $702,000, I believe, is the
correct
the dollar amount.
But they could always do as we're doing and back off of the one.
Yeah, for their purposes, since they want to capture CPI and new construction, they'll publish and approve their levy with a dollar amount higher than what they think they can get, just so they get every dollar amount, which is what we used to do in the pre-recession years.
I think, too, they're looking at some mechanical issues in the building and that.
I would just like the...
It's been costing them.
The two to be on the same page, honestly. It'd be nice if the city and the library, which is part of the city, just...
Chris, they were so calm about it.
But also, we're not giving them anything extra anywhere else.
Right.
This coming...
I know they had some issues with... their air conditioning.
I'm fine with what we're proposing, but I only want the new construction. I don't want anything else. Same as we did last year.
Are you okay with posting the public notice?
As long as it's clear. I mean, my vote would be only new construction. If it changes, I won't vote for it.
Understood.
Anybody else? Any other? Okay, so I would think we want to put this on the regular agenda.
You can put it on the consent agenda since the published dollar amount is just a tax levy estimate.
Okay.
I think we did it last year. That
one
too.
It's the one.
Okay.
All right, go for it. Okay, now we have a fun one. Admin 2018-88, the RFP for the sale of parts. Interesting news.
Yes. So I won't rehash the entire memo, other than Landmarks Illinois has stepped up. There was a chance that somebody was going to be here tonight from Landmarks, but they didn't confirm because they've got some other things going on. The update from them is that they have secured a engineering architecture firm to come through and look at floor beams, walls, etc., assuming that we'll be okay to cut them open in the areas that we're concerned about, which is fine. We have the manpower and the capability to do it. Scheduling became a little bit of an issue. I think they offered on Monday or Tuesday. Pete's been out all week on medical leave, and Eric has been doing snowplow preparations. And we're a little short-staffed in public work, so we're not going to be able to get it done by Friday. We might be able to cut a couple holes open. They probably will still show up Friday afternoon, take a look at the building. You know, maybe tell us, like, hey, you know, I want to look at this area. Maybe we can cut it open for them by the time they come out next week. So I wouldn't expect a structural report from them, you know, in the next week or so. It'll probably be at least a couple weeks out, just depending on when they can come back out. But they are gung-ho, like, fully committed to assisting us in any way possible, which is very refreshing.
Are they paying for this
engineer? Yeah. They said that they would do it. Yeah.
They said they would do it. We have the press here.
Yes.
This is what we wanted.
Yep.
No,
so we have a
good
third party interested, willing to put up monies to do studies.
Really has money to.
They're doing it. So they're not putting up any money. I don't know if there's any money between them. But we're not paying for it.
They're dealing with the financial side of it however they are.
Yeah.
Right. And we're going to pay for somebody to cut the holes.
Yeah. The value of it is a couple $1,000s. The Hunter Trent Kena report, we got a phase two estimate. So we use that scope to kind of hand over to this other firm to say, like, this is what this one firm was thinking. And basically it was cut open floorboards, cut open drywall, take a look at the joists, you know, do some heat tests to see if the joists are moisture impacted, and, you know, make sure that the building is still stable in that regard. So we're in the process of trying to get that scheduled. So that's my update on the building side. Anybody have any questions about that?
That's good.
On the RFI, RFP side, Landmarks Illinois seem to think that the Belleville, Illinois, there's a large old hotel there that underwent multiple RFPs to try to save it over the early 2010s, so much like ours. Couldn't find a buyer. But that document would be good for us to use. So we've taken a look at it. It isn't actually that dissimilar from what we had drafted and then not approved a few months ago. But I like the format of, you know, they go through and tell you about the history of the building. They tell you about what they're trying to do with the building, you know, and they're fairly open-ended in that really they were just looking for something self-sustaining there, and they weren't going to give any incentives at all, you know, for rehab of the building. So I've started to, and I didn't get it done for this meeting, otherwise I would have handed it out. I added into RFI, changed it to an RFP, put in a little bit of background of the building, just a paragraph or two, put in almost verbatim the tax credit discussion that Landmarks had sent us, and then a discussion about TIF assistance. And I don't know what everybody feels about, you know, the eventual use of TIF on the property. My suspicion it would be highly contextual depending on what somebody brought us. So I'm planning on disclosing, we have not discussed TIF assistance for this project, but it is in a TIF district. To the extent that you bring us something that we really love and it generates income because it's going to be paying a whole bunch of property taxes, we might consider it, but no guarantees. And then I was going to tighten up the review and the what we're actually requesting from them. So, you know, how much money are you giving us, if any? You know, what are you committing to dollar amount-wise? What are you committing to construction timeline-wise? You know, do you actually have a user, yes or no? Just to try to get as much information about, you know, somebody's proposal as possible. So that would be my goal and intent. Last time we said that the city council, because it was an RFI, staff could just put out the RFI. The RFP process, because it is somewhat formalized in the TIF Act and the Illinois Municipal Code, probably should be voted on, you know, in a final document and you guys should endorse. So I don't know that we're going to get that done for October 23rd. November 13th shouldn't be a problem at all. And so, you know, we'll see what we can get done tomorrow morning, provided that's the direction that everybody wants to go, but I kind of assumed it would be. Get it out. I was thinking 120 days. You know, I think that gives you enough time to market it through Landmarks Illinois and publicly, you know, get somebody interested, have them do their own due diligence on the property, come and meet with us, have some discussions, and then that gives them enough time maybe to put together proposals before it closes. If everybody's okay with a longer timeline, I'm fine with that. And I think it would be beneficial to the property to the extent that the structural report comes back and it says, you know, you've got some time on this, the building isn't going to collapse. So that's kind of what I was thinking, but that can be modified and tweaked depending on what everybody wants to do.
The only question I have is, if we're going to go sell it, have we separated the parking lot yet or no?
That can be done at any point. Just a simple plat act.
You're correct. We have not. That was one of the questions from Landmarks Illinois. We were trying to look at the substructure for the retaining wall in the parking lot to make sure that if we drew the line at a certain area that it either missed the substructure or that it came clear that there was a substructure below it and we had the right to dig up
the
ground.
We get to maybe put an easement 5, 10, 15 feet to make sure we're not compromising.
From a explore all options due diligence, they did ask if we would be willing to sell the parking lot too, and I said probably not, although probably not, and there, I guess there's probably legal restriction in us being able to do so from the grant money and the IDOT money we got. But to the extent that we legally could, you know, I'm sure that we wouldn't want to get rid of it because it's in an okay location. But if somebody gave us more parking across the street, you know, we might consider it. So I'm trying to rule that out.
If we sold it to them, and they gave us the ability to have a title restriction that it's public use.
Yeah.
I mean, they get to use it for whatever their use is, but it's still granted in perpetuity for public use. They maintain it.
Right.
As long as legally we can do it, I wouldn't exclude it.
Yeah.
We just need to retain the right to publicly use it.
So we'll see. I've pulled up the title. I've pulled up the grant applications, and so we'll have legal review those and see if there's a deed restriction on it or not. And if not, then we'll skip that. But if so, then we'll try to accurately explain that within the RFP.
That it will or can be subdivided. And I mean, we can put that language in there that, you know, subdivision to be determined at a later point.
Sure.
Back to the 120 days, what are you thinking in terms of the public notification timeline? Are we, you know, normally we're 30 days. Are you envisioning 45, 60 days just for that one when it's published? How long do you think?
I would say if there's not an upper end requirement by state law, like you can't go beyond a maximum, I would just publish it for the full 120 days.
Okay, you're thinking that everything else is ancillary to the, you know, the rest of the process.
Yeah, and if something comes up and we have to pull it back, then, you know.
I want to give a good opportunity because some of these, you know, you're going to get a quick response on it, you do it, but this one, I want it to be out there, be well published. Okay. And then I'm looking at this Belleville. I looked at a couple others that have been out there on historic buildings for this type of thing. The detail is nice to have in there.
Yep.
You know, for the RFP, the pro forma, you know, financial aspect of it's got to be a positive. I like the idea of having, you know, we're going to talk about TIF. It has to be a generator for us. It can't be something that's heavily burdensome on the community, so you're going to come in and put a residential product that's going to impact the district.
Sure.
I don't want to see something like that. I'd rather see something that's more financially beneficial, that's not going to create a lot of burden to the taxing bodies.
Yeah.
So that kind of language in the TIF discussion for incentives, I think, is necessary.
Seems reasonable.
It's a big case by case.
Who knows what they're going to propose, but I just think, you know, if we're going to say, if it's TIF, there's, you know, this is kind of the thought, needs to be more of a generator in order to achieve a higher benefit of the TIF use.
I think I know the answer to the question, but I'm going to ask anyway. So we have had two developers approached us, looked at the property, and have said, I'm interested in the property, but the property, not the building. Like, if you were to give me the property, or if I could buy it from you, sans building, like, I think that I could build something larger than just the property in the immediate area. So I would expect that there would be interest from at least one entity, and probably two, to say, I'm not interested in doing the rehab, although maybe they'll look at these tax credits and think otherwise, but I am interested in developing the building. So the question is I think that the heavy preference of the city council obviously is to have a development that saves the building, gets it rehabbed, and has it there in perpetuity. And we can draft it as such, but the question is whether you want to specifically exclude demo and development proposals on top of it. Because we can say, this is our heavy preference, we are not going to consider these types of proposals unless if none of them are feasible. Or we could say, we're not entertaining this at any point in the process, and then that would be, you know, a separate agenda item we'd have to do later. So, you know, I hate loading up the document with that type of language and the process, but on the same token, if you go through it and nobody bids on it because they don't like it, you're 120 days out, you know, then you have to go through and you have to probably, you know, bid it out again, publish it, and then you've got probably another 90 or 120 days after that. So, I didn't know if you wanted that language to be in there, if you were okay with it, knowing that I think you can craft it in a way that makes it very clear that, you know, that's like an option of last resort. But I didn't know how everybody felt about it.
Anyone first?
I would say this is, it's got 120 days. You know, I would make it pretty clear that's not the option we want to take, but if we look at 120 days, do we really want to draft something else off? Or are we just going to knock it down ourselves?
I'd rather us not do it. If it's gonna be demolished,
right,
it's third party.
And let them pay for it.
Right.
Then, but let's go with that.
Here's how I see this, and this is going back to our discussion months ago. That little piece of property is tiny in the grand scheme of things. You've got the county building right next to it, which they don't have an intended use for. And then you have some private ownership at the corner. Just the building itself is not going to do much of anything unless they are going to truly renovate that building and put it into a full redevelopment, spend millions on that and find an actual use for the building, or demo it and come up with something new on that. It's an awful lot of investment on a very tiny piece of property. I think it takes an assemblage of other properties to make it fully functional and have the ability to preserve the building. I don't think you can preserve the building and redevelop just that parcel alone. So what I'm basically saying is, whoever's going to come up with the proposal is going to come up with something that's a bigger picture than just the jail site. I may be wrong, but that's my thought in order to make it financially viable. If you're going to preserve it, there has to be a, you know, bigger piece out there for them. Obviously, we went away from the discussion of possibly involving the county on their property, but if a third party wants to approach it that way, that makes a complete linkage all the way from 47 to this property.
I mean, I'm not against that.
Otherwise, I think we need to have language in there that allows for an alternative program that includes third-party demolition.
So you're okay if it references it and says, discounts it, obviously, but says, like, we'll accept bids, whether we, you know, approve now, them is a different story.
Is there a way we can incentivize the preservation aspect of it over demolition?
I think it's all in how you message it. I think if it's, you know, in fact, I might be able to read it.
Giving it to developers that we're going to knock it down.
I think that if it comes to that, Landmarks is out, all those tax credits, those incentives are off the table for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So from the city side, if it's, you know, for us, hey, if you want to do something, you know, TIF is on the table for preservation.
So
redevelopment, I don't know, is TIF going to be on the table for just that individual site for tear down and build a new something on that little piece? Is that the character?
Does anybody know what the county has in mind for the building east of it?
I spoke to a couple of individual county board members. The couple I spoke to said that there's no plan for it.
Yeah. The county administrator, I had mentioned it on Friday, too. He said the same thing.
Yeah. And there's, the board members I've spoken to, they have difference of opinion. One says you never get rid of county property. However, he was one that voted to get rid of jail. And then the other one said absolutely willing to get rid of it. So it's kind of...
I mean, you're taking it.
So here's a sentence that I did actually draft. So, city is now considering development sale proposals for the property with a heavy preference of the city council. The building be rehabilitated and developed with a business office or retail use, and a secondary preference for a residential use. The city will accept proposals from this RFP process that will involve demolition of the building and use of the land in future redevelopment, but these proposals will only be considered in the event that no feasible proposals are received for rehabilitation and development of the building.
Yeah.
Is that okay, like in concept?
Yeah.
That leaves both sides open, so...
Yeah, but it makes it clear that we're likely to give somebody that's giving us less money and maybe even a lesser built like development if they keep the building versus somebody that's just going to tear it down and put up like a 3-story condo.
Your language was retail, and then it referenced residential.
Developed with a business office or retail use, comma, and a secondary preference for residential use.
So you are referring to mixed use.
Yeah.
Initially, okay. I didn't hear that, so I just want to make sure that that's what we're. Yeah, I would prefer it to be a mixed use.
Well,
so
if you do that and nobody comes in, I guess it saves you going out for it again because there'll be something there to look at.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It's not the goal. The goal is to, and like you said, who's one of those?
Right.
You know, I would think that whoever they're trying to connect with it is a.
Right.
Likes the landmark or wants to save the building.
Right.
Well, I think what it'll do is it'll give both sides of the. I can build something on the property if I can tear it down versus, you know, I think I could rehab the building. Kind of the same opportunity and window to be able to put something together, and then you can see them both at the same time.
Right.
So hopefully if you get multiple bids on each side, you can say, do we want a 3-story mixed-use building there that's larger than the property, or do we want, you know, a rehabilitated single-family home? You know, maybe somebody wants to come in and make that their own project. You never know. But then you can see them both at the same time, too. So.
Okay, cool. I don't know if the money to do it, that'd be cool.
It's got a great view of the river.
And keep in mind, if we're keeping the parking lot on the table for discussion, you know, when you think about just the building parcel, that's not much. But if you had the parking lot in there, if they wanted to rip that out, do something different, maybe they acquire a piece of property somewhere else downtown and shift 20 parking spaces somewhere else.
Well, and if you have somebody that's willing to come in and is willing to make, you know, preserve the building, maybe there's a way to hook them up with the county and let the county do a little.
Right.
Too.
Well, I mean, the county does have some, you know, they've got a historic preservation committee. I mean, they have potentially some.
The one who's vacant. It's going to look like the jail soon. Because they don't take care of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, look at the jail.
Actually, that one has plants growing inside of the building now.
Well, so is the jail when I was in the last. Things.
Different kind of plants.
Interesting.
The other ones are vines.
These are little
trees.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything like that growing inside a building before. Might get some mushrooms in there too. Never know.
So you're going to finish the draft RFP?
What are your thoughts?
Hopefully. I don't know if I can get it done tomorrow morning.
I'm just soaking it all in. I agree. I think it's certainly, I don't think anybody really wants to tear it down. I think it's a hefty investment for somebody, as we've seen the numbers try to come and rehab it.
It's huge.
Yeah. And so if they're gonna tear it down, we've already got an estimate that it's what, $78,000 roughly?
Yeah.
Because you got to mediate and then tear it down. So is that piece of land worth that much for somebody to do that and then build something on top of it and try to make that a worthwhile investment? I think that's...
Well, but if we're willing to... And if somebody comes up with a proposal and says, hey, we're going to build XYZ, we'll pay for the demo, but we want you to sell us the land for a dollar.
Sure.
You know, that's where it comes in. Because if they're going to take on that cost,
right.
You know, if you're going to expect them to pay, you know...
$78,000 still worth that piece of property.
Exactly. Well, I mean, $78,000 for a downtown piece, I mean, it's...
On the hill.
you're saying if we demo and then somebody buys the property after the fact. So
oh, no, no, I'm saying not sell it, but basically give it away.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trade-off. Or we do demo and sell the property.
Right,
it's basically a wash either way. I mean, we're not making anything out of the
restaurant. But then it's not really preserved either.
Right, and that's the case. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Right.
But, yeah, it just needs to be private monies or some other government agency's money.
So, goal is to get someone who wants to preserve it. Mm-hmm. And if not, what's the other
bullet?
I will have that information.
But everybody's okay with the RFP concept?
Yeah.
Seeking proposals for, like, a price plus, you know, an actual development of the property.
Mm-hmm. And you think just come back to the 13th? City Council give you a little more time?
I'm going to work on it tonight. If I get it done and think that it's good enough, well, I mean, I could. If I get it done and put it in the packet, you could always review it as a first reading next week and then approve it on the 13th. So, to me, this is
you rush that. Us do a first read and then butcher it. I'd rather it be done right.
Okay,
that's not my. I'd rather it be done right, and maybe we get a little more feedback from Historic Preservation.
So,
when you get it
caution is appreciated.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you get it done, are you going to consult back with Lisa?
Yes, definitely. And she's seen the RFI that we drafted and had pointed us in the direction of the Belleville one. So, and the changes that I've made so far have went there. So we'll see. If I, you know, move mountains tonight and tomorrow, then, you know, I might send it out to everybody. But if not, November 13th is quite reasonable.
All right, anything else on that? Got your direction, we're good. All right, let's go to 10, Admin 2018-89, Municipal Facility Master Plan, RFP.
Okay, got an RFP document in the packet. We have a budget for the project, and so this is a large enough and complex enough issue that we wanted to review the RFP and the process beforehand. So just as a refresher, you know, an RFP, if we go out and we don't like the proposals that we get in, we always can reject it and rebid it. There's isn't time sensitive other than the fact that, you know, some of the decisions that we're making with these buildings are kind of in a domino effect right now with the jail and a couple other things. So the RFP document is in the packet. If anybody has any questions about the content, scope, or process, I'd be happy to take those now.
So the timeline here, we're looking, you know, this will be out for the next city council meeting. We'll publish 30 days, and that will be, it's 30 days, right? Is the anticipated...
I believe so.
Okay.
But I don't remember off the top of my head.
Because it'll be the 23rd, and I think it was
we posted it for end of November. So assuming that you approve it next Tuesday,
basically 30 days mm-hmm. based on the dates.
Right.
Do we want to push that out just a little bit longer? I think sometimes it's a short window for what we're looking for.
If you're comfortable with a longer window, certainly it would be to proposers' benefits. So to the extent that everybody's okay with this project potentially bleeding into, you know, summer and fall of next year, then yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be my comfort level, is to extend the window for proposals.
Okay.
Give it a little more time. I don't want to rush anything that's in this one.
Is 60 days enough, you think, or do you want to go look at?
I mean, that's 2 months. 30 days just... It's very, very short.
Okay.
The other, I know in the packet you've provided prior plans for the downtown vision plan buildings.
Yep.
I don't want to see those included in the RFP. That's just information for us, just because I don't want any bias on what they're going to be going through. It's good information historically, but I just want to make sure they're clear and free from any potential bias. And then, you know, going through the scope of work, you know, using the EDMG, I know that's referenced in here, that's kind of the baseline, that's a start, we have a lot there.
in terms of the start point, the building master list, I think we need some edits on that. There's inconsistencies on that list. Some elements, we have just a shelter from a park listed. We have a couple of parks listed, but we don't have inconsistencies in that aspect. So when it comes to parks or park elements, it's either all or none, I think. You know, we've got the concession stand at Bridge, but we don't have the park listed. And if we're going to look at that, that's an intensive park. It's got the lighting. It's got a lot of structure to it.
Sure.
So I think we just need to look at that list. If we're going to put that in there, we need to be more consistent on that list, if we could.
That's a good point. I'd probably lean more towards removing those.
Yes, yeah. Since those are minor in terms of the concession buildings, the shelters, take them out. Let's just stay to the primary principal buildings. I think that's important. We also need to do an update. We have the Yak Shack still listed on here, which that slab would be nice, but it's not. So just a little cleanup on that list. And then we have in here, you know, the scope of work is good, but what I'd like to do is see if we can actually add in some type of, besides just the consultant meeting, doing the interviews with the city representatives, opportunity to do some type of a informal meeting, you know, where they're actually kind of sharing some of their ideas with staff. Kind of a subcommittee type thing where they're coming in and talking about it just separately from just the department heads and those type of meetings. I think kind of doing some type of an outreach would be good for this one, if we could put that in there somehow.
What page are you looking at?
Well, in the scope of work, that's where I'm at. It has the, you know, the basic interviews are listed there in number one, and then number two, it goes through everything that's going to want to be assessed. But I think at some point in there, you know, before they actually prepare the deliverable, basically between two and three, before they're really solidifying it, just kind of a review workshop of everything that they've accumulated. That way we're not running from, you know, their initial interviews, making the assessments, and then preparing the final. I think if they could come back and kind of show kind of some thought process before they create the deliverable. Kind of like what was done on the comp plan. There was some interim documentation.
So you're talking about, let's see, page like three, or page four of the RFP, the scope of work.
Mm-hmm. Because number two goes through all the assessments that are going to be needed, and then it goes right into the deliverable.
Okay. So
before we get to that final deliverable, it would be nice to kind of get some type of a progress. So, you know, it doesn't have to be graphical. It can just be text-based.
Sure.
You know, kind of a walkthrough of that. I think it would be nice to put something in there that's something we would like.
Yes, we would just add a new number three, bump the rest of them down, that would say the consultant shall conduct a brief preliminary report presentation to city council to elicit individual perspectives of problems, needing solutions, etc. That's the language that's used on the department head.
Okay.
So it'd be the same
similar,
type of thing.
But yeah, take it to council for us to kind of...
Okay.
Before it proceeds too far, I want to see that kind of they're on the right track. We can kind of see a little bit of the process after staff's been through their week.
Seems fine. But if you're looking at number one under the scope of work, mm-hmm. is that same language kind of what you're thinking, but just for city council?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can add that in.
It'll be more refined because it's going to have some of that information from the staff level that can be brought to council to solicit them for information. That way it's in the proposal letter, but you'll be making certain that that's in their proposal.
Sure.
And then I know in the timeline of what we're expecting, it's 1 to 4, 5 to 15, and then 15 to 30 year time frames.
Mm-hmm.
Can we look at this in a little further scope? You know, I'd like to see if we can think about our buildings in a longer term than just, you know, the 30 years.
You thinking 50 or
I'm thinking
like
50?
Okay.
That's my, you know, if we could break that so that we can push it out a little further. Try to come up with a plan that has a much longer lifespan for facilities overall.
So are you looking at scope of work 2J there where it says whether space will be adequate in the foreseeable future, 5, 10, 20, and 50 years out instead of 30? Is that,
yeah,
is that
and that's also in the
city
government.
Citywide,
yeah, okay, government. That's it there. Number 3. It's in there two places, yeah.
Yeah. You're okay, though, with the short term 1 to 4 years, mid term being 5 to 15, and then long term being 15 to 50?
Or do you want a fourth one?
I don't know that you need a fourth one as much as if you weren't comfortable with the short term being 1 to 4 years, which
right,
I think is actually a good thing, whether you'd want to like change the midterm to like 5 to 20 years.
Yeah, because your short term is very immediate. Those are your critical needs. I'm thinking that, yeah, that middle, maybe it is 5 to 20,
okay,
and then 20 to 50.
Seems fine, yeah. 5 to 20, and then we'll do 20 to 50.
Okay. Of the actual process for reviews, you know, how they're going to be selected. Where was that at? The selection process. Interview and selection process, page 8. Do you have an issue putting in the actual form that we use for that with the point-based system? Like we've done on our other RFPs and submittals where we have the form, you know, these are the categories, this is the ratings.
Did we do that in the comp plan?
We didn't. I would like to, though.
We didn't?
I don't think we actually put it in there. We might have referenced what the different ones are, but I don't think we put that actual weighting scale in.
Yeah.
Just so they can see what the scoring process is.
I guess I'd prefer a little bit more flexibility in the process in that the initial due diligence is only going to be done by staff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the city council has a different set of priorities, which probably will. I mean, like, you're going to look at things a little bit differently than we would. You know, then I wouldn't want to create a system for sure that's locked in that says, like, why are we going with this person that only got 80 points on this initial review, you know, and, you know, this other person scored 98 when you look at this hard criteria. So, you know.
So are we going to, though, have that type of a format that's created later that the staff uses for selection purposes?
We have not decided upon it yet. We have some time in the past, and then typically what we do is whoever's on the review team, we aggregate their scores, and then, you know, we draft up notes and send it out. You know, it's somewhat arbitrary in the fact that, you know, you select, like, you know, it's 100 points that you can give out, and 30 of it ends up being experience, and 40 ends up being, like, how they responded to it.
Capacity of
the 20 is, like, the intangible, and there's, like, 10 for cost. So, so I mean, that can depend heavily on the number of, like, we could change our criteria basis depending on the number of responses, you know, the quality of responses. And so, I mean, like, I can try to go through and do due diligence ahead of time. I just don't know that it would be worth it to do so when we could see the proposals and then we'd be like, well, we're thinking about something totally different. And really, in the end, it's just a staff review of it. It's not even really the city council, you know, legal authority to it.
I just know on each of these that come through, I always request to see that because that's, you know, what is staff using to make their recommendation? I want to see the background for that.
Understood.
And we're... I think it kind of lacks in a lot of proposals that we, or requests for proposals that don't have that in there because we're not telling consultants what we're really looking for, what the priorities are. I you know, the language is there, but what's it going to be, what's the review going to be based on?
Sure.
You know, and I think that's why I'd like to see that. So that's fine. I mean, think about that one. But then the other one, do we have, I didn't see a line in here for Q&A. Did I miss that? Public information, errors and omissions, disclaimers. But do we we have a Q&A line item in here for them to submit questions and then have a deadline for responses. I think to work that into our schedule from the time it's issued for interested parties to submit their questions, and then we'll have a response time.
Questions are 10 days prior to a scheduled closing date.
Okay. So we do have the Q&A.
Yep.
Okay. And then how long? They'll be responded to when?
In the past, it's depended upon the complexity of the questions, and to the extent that somebody submits a really good question on the 10th day beforehand and we can't answer it, we've extended it out a couple days and then just notified everybody that's...
Mm-hmm. Then a lot of them will do the Q&A. You know, your questions are submitted, and then there's a mandatory pre-meeting prior to submittal to, you know, respond, and
sure.
Anybody who's on that list will be recipient of those... And any of those questions. That's kind of where I'm going is, you know, if anybody has questions, it'd be nice to have a registered list so that everybody can receive copies of those questions.
Yeah, we didn't select a mandatory meeting for this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessary, but it'd be nice to have that Q&A so that anybody who puts down their name can get those answers.
Yep.
From any questions from anybody.
Yeah. The system we've used too, which was implemented by our last purchasing manager, requires people to log in and give their contact information to be able to download. It is a little bit, but it's very, very useful.
It's great for that. Someone like myself, it's awful.
Yeah.
I can't download it. I have to request it from you guys because I'm not going to sign in.
You have to create a fake
company.
Every
time.
Yeah. We did that for the Metro RFP. So.
Yeah, we need a login for us to be able to get in there and download. Okay, I think that's it I have for that one.
Anybody else? I just want to be on record at the office plan that we never even looked into because, like, nobody had any money to do it.
Yeah, she's got all downtown.
Well...
This one that happened to have been done on my birthday. I just love that one where they kick back all the
stuff. Oh, yeah.
That was such a neat idea.
I thought you were talking about the actual municipal facilities plan where we implemented the $5,500 impact fee and then didn't collect one over the 10-year period.
Ago.
Yeah.
I just think that was cool.
Nice looking.
Mm-hmm. It would just... I think it would give us a very unique downtown.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm. You'd get rid of our weird railing, too, on 47.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah. So, where do we want to go with this one? We're just going to...
We're going to extend the window to 60 days. We're going to remove some concession buildings, shelters, and parks, Yak Shack building. We're going to add the meeting with City Council feedback committee. We're going to do the 1 to 4, 5 to 20, 21 to 50 timeline. And then those were all the changes that I had were definite. So there was some discussion about the scorecard and then the Q&A to the extent that we come up with something ahead of time. I think really what you want to see is you want to see the individual staff level comments and score, after the process is over, if possible.
And then just making sure that any interested parties have the ability to receive all the questions answered.
Sure. Yep.
Equally.
Yep. We might be able to get that done by tomorrow. If not, it'll be November 13th.
Okay.
So, and then that'll push out our 30-day, or 60-day window.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody got any old business? Anybody got any additional business? All right, let's adjourn this meeting at 6:58.